I'm going to talk this morning about the amazing advantages of being able to speak in tongues. And in the process, I want to also look at some questions and objections and different things. You know, I've come across Christians who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues, but they don't do it anymore. And you talk to them, why aren't you doing that anymore? Oh, well, I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't understand what I'm saying. And then there's others who love the Lord and they're born again, but they're not filled with this Holy Spirit and they're not able to speak in tongues because they were taught, well, that's of the devil. Or, no, that stuff passed away. You know, like it happened with the apostles, but it's not for us today. And so I want to look at some of these things and look at some of these issues. I did preach a message, a very similar message to this a couple of years ago. But like, I guess in my interactions with people, I've seen there were a number of things that I didn't get to minister and share in that message. So this is kind of like a new updated version of the other. This is like the advantages of speaking in tongues 2.0. I guess you could call it. And so there's a lot of things that I didn't get to share the last time that I aim to share this time. But also, too, I just want you to be aware that there's a lot of people that are accessing our website. We in 2016, I think we had somewhere around about 1,500 downloads for the year in 2016. This year, there hasn't been a single month that we have had less than 1,700 downloads. So what we were doing in a year, in 2016, we're doing at least that every month. You know, we're just getting just massive numbers, you know, in terms of downloads, people downloading the messages. And it shows me all the messages that are being downloaded. Because like when I'm looking at these numbers, I'm going, are they really being downloaded? But it lists the different messages and how many times it's either been listened to online or how many times people have downloaded it. It'll even tell me if someone started listening to it and then didn't finish it. So it's quite extraordinary. So for the sake of also people that are getting online, and this is one of the messages that people are accessing, I want to have a new updated version for that. Is that all right?
Yeah.
And I think it's going to really help you as well. And it may even answer some questions for you. So, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, once while he was eating with them, he commanded them, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So let me just stop there just to explain. This word baptize is actually a Greek word, and I've got the Greek scholars sitting at the back. Baptizi. Yeah. Okay, I'll take your word for it. And it was never translated. They just wrote something equivalent in English, but that's not an English word. It's like if I came to Jerry and I said, Jerry, la la hai guya guya enna. Do you know what that means, by the way? Because he's from PNG, so I was risking it. Maybe he did know. But if I said something like that to Jerry and he didn't understand it and you didn't understand what I said other than Jerry, how's that going to help? I could go, la la hai guya guya enna. And he'll be like, what do I do with that? I have no idea what you're saying. This word baptize is like that. It's like it was in Greek, but they never ever translated it into English. And so we're reading John baptized, but that's a Greek word. Well, what does baptized mean? La la hai guya guya enna, by the way, is from one of the villages, and it just means good morning. Long way to say good morning, but anyway, that's the way they say it. But this word baptize is actually a Greek word, and it means to immerse or to dip. Or to dunk. Phil is a champion dunker. He can tell you every biscuit and how good it is to dunk in coffee or into tea. He's got charts, eh? He's got graphs. He knows. After a while, I just realized, you know what? I'm not sure what biscuit to get, so I just watch Phil. Right? And he'll pick the biscuit. He'll know. Yeah, this one you can only hold it there for 3 seconds. But these other ones, you've got to put them in there for like 8 or 9 seconds because they just don't soak up like the other ones do. He's just an expert dunker. He knows the right ones to dunk and stuff. What's he doing? He's baptizing his biscuits. That's what baptize means. It means to dunk or to dip or to immerse. And so when Jesus is saying here in Acts chapter 1, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, John baptized with water, he's saying, you remember how John used to dunk you in water? And they got it. And he said, in just a few days, you're going to be dunked in the Holy Spirit. As soon as we translate it, we can see it. This word baptism means to dunk or to dip or to immerse. Now, that is more than just like when I was in PNG and out in the villages, we would have to go wash in the river. I really enjoy that because, I mean, there it's quite hot. It's very humid. And so it was really refreshing. To wash in the river means I had to get baptized. I had to dunk into the river. To be dunked is more than just getting wet. I could come into the river and it's like here and Wes might be next to me and he could splash me. Well, now I'm wet, but I'm still not dunked. Can you see? When you get dunked, you're not just wet, you are surrounded. You are completely immersed. You just don't just have a little bit of water on you. You are completely surrounded in a massive body of water. So when Jesus said, in a few days, you're going to be dunked in the Holy Spirit, he didn't just say, just something's going to be smeared on you or something's going to come on you. He's talking about, they got it. They understood it because they understood what baptized meant. You are going to be completely immersed in this massive body and it's the Holy Spirit. And he's going to immerse you in himself. And so, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit means that you have been dunked. You've been immersed in the Spirit of God. And what an awesome picture that is. You know, the moment you begin to picture it like that, you begin to say, wow, this is huge. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's not just some little event that happened. You got immersed in the power of God. You got immersed in the Spirit of God. The one who was responsible for bringing to pass everything that Jesus said at creation. He brought it to pass. Remember, it was the Spirit of God that hovered over the face of the deep. So there in Acts chapter 1, it says, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And he replied, he said, the Father alone has authority to set these dates and times. They are not for you to know. So they kind of got a little bit sidetracked because they were pretty excited because he's risen from the dead. He's defeated death. And so they're thinking like, is this the end of the world? Is this when everything's going to happen? And he sort of had to bring them back on track. He said, listen, that's not for you to know right now. And then verse 8, he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so Jesus in verse 8 shows us what is the purpose of being dunked in the Holy Spirit. Why is it important that we consider this? Why am I talking about the amazing advantages of being able to pray in tongues? Well, I'm going to come and answer some of that. But first, I want you to understand that comes as a result of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in verse 8, Jesus gives two reasons why it's so significant. And these reasons were so significant, he said to his disciples, you wait in Jerusalem. You wait in Jerusalem. Don't go out and telling anybody that I've risen from the dead. You wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power. So there's the first reason. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The reason you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit is because it empowers you. Can you go to heaven without being baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes, you can. And as Andrew Vormick so often says, as a matter of fact, you'll probably get there quicker without it. You don't have to be, you don't have to have the Holy Spirit or being baptized in the Holy Spirit in order to get to heaven. It's totally separate to being born again. You can go to heaven. But Jesus, every one of the disciples was already born again. And he said to them, You wait in Jerusalem because you will receive power. The reason why you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit is because it clothes you with power. The believer that does not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a believer who lacks power in their life. They can tell all the truth. They can say God loves you. They can say, yes, we know God can heal. Yes, we know God can answer prayer. But they don't have a lot of things to show because they're lacking the power of God. That's why Jesus said, you wait in Jerusalem. You wait until you're clothed with power. You wait until the Spirit of God comes upon you. And then the second reason why is also there in verse 8. He said, and you will be my witnesses. You want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because it empowers you, but also you become a witness. No one then has to come to you and say, well, how do you know that Jesus is really alive? You know. You know, you've become a witness because the power of God is on you and you are aware that He is well and truly alive in me. People can come up to me and say, well, you know, I don't really believe you praying in tongues. I don't believe you're doing anything. I don't really care what they think. I know. I've seen the benefits in my own life. I've seen the effect of it. And so I'm a witness of the resurrection of Jesus. And so are you if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. So these two major purposes of being filled with the Spirit, it is empowers the believer, but also you become a witness of the resurrection of Jesus. So He is alive and He's living in you and He enables you to do things that a normal person could not do. Hey. And so if you look at Acts chapter 2, you'll see what happened when the disciples got dunked. And Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat on each of them. I want you to think about what's happening here. You know, all the disciples were together. It wasn't just the 12 apostles. You know that there were more disciples than just the 12. Remember Jesus sent out the 70? And there was, I think it's in Acts chapter 1, it actually talks about, there was about 120 of them that had gathered together in this room and they were praying. What were they doing? They were just being obedient. The Lord said, you wait in Jerusalem. So here they are in Jerusalem and they're just praying. And all of a sudden, there is the sound as of. It wasn't a wind, but it was like. What if you heard a sound and you didn't know what it was? You would try to equate it. Well, it kind of sounds like this. Or if you taste a new food and somebody says, what does it taste like? Well, it tastes like this. It tastes like chicken. Everything tastes like chicken, doesn't it? But like, what was happening here in Acts chapter 2 is there was a sound and it sounded like. The scripture says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. It wasn't a mighty rushing wind, but it sounded like it. You know what else sounds like a mighty rushing wind? A rocket, a jet engine. That sounds like a mighty rushing wind. I'm not saying that's what it was, but it was something that they could only equate, just like something that just sounded so intense. I've pictured myself in that room with them and they're all praying and they start hearing this. What would I do if I was there? I've pictured myself. I've imagined. I go in the stories of the Bible. I'll go in my imagination. I know exactly what they were doing because I've done it. As they're praying, they suddenly start hearing this noise, like this intense wind, and instinctively they're looking out the windows. What is that? They're looking at the trees. They're looking at any sort of curtains that are on any other houses. Is it reflecting what we're hearing? Are the trees bending over because this, it sounds intense. What is it? But then, to their startling surprise, and the scripture says, it was in the house, it wasn't outside. They went instinctively looking outside. This is just my translation, this is my interpretation, because I've seen it in my imagination. But then, they suddenly realized, no, it's not outside, it's inside. What's going on inside? They can hear this intense, and then as this perplexed, thinking, what is that? I mean, that sounds so fierce, like nothing's blowing around, but we can hear this mighty rushing wind. And suddenly, as they're looking around, they start to notice on one another, there's these flames of fire. Something supernatural was going on. This is what wasn't just another prayer meeting in Jerusalem. Something unusual was happening. And it goes on in verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. So, you know, like people that were nearby heard this sound. It must have been so loud and so intense that actually drew them out. Like, what is that? What is that? What is that? They're not just looking out the window now. They've come outside. Where is that? It's coming up here. Let's go see what's happening around the corner. And they come. And when they come around the corner out of this building where they think, is it coming from that building? What are they doing in there? And out of the building is pouring out 120 believers. They don't know that they're believers. I mean, these are just Jews that have come for a feast, a religious feast. And they're seeing these people pour out of this building and they're speaking in all sorts of different languages. And it goes on, it says, when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, they were confused, and they heard them speak in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each one in our language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya, and so on and so on. They were all just like, hey, that guy speaks in my dialect from my village. I can tell the color of his skin. He's not from my country. Hey, how does he know my village's language? And then somebody else who's another Jew but from another part of the world goes, yeah, well, that guy standing next to him, he's talking in my language. And they're just amazed. Something supernatural happened. You know, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are empowered by the Spirit of God. And you become a witness. And the evidence, the initial evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is you begin to speak in tongues. You will see that right through the book of Acts. When people got filled with the Spirit, just tell them I'm not home. But you will find that whenever someone got baptized in the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. That was the initial evidence for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to look at this objections that I've heard just over the years that people have had about this experience, and so I want to look at what the reasoning is behind it, what the Bible has to say about it. Hands up if you understand that whenever there's a difference of opinion when it comes to teaching, you should always let the Word of God be the judge. Is that right? Don't believe it just because I'm telling you. Right? In fact, if I'm sharing stuff that I'm insisting is truth, you have no obligation believing what I have to say or anybody else has to say unless they can show you in the Word of God. And so I've heard different sorts of questions and queries and objections come up about this issue. And so I want to look at what does the Bible have to say? Is that all right?
Yeah.
And then we can sort that out. Well, one of the first objections I've heard is people have said, well, you know, speaking in tongues, it doesn't exist anymore. It's ceased. The Bible says the tongues has ceased. And so we have no business having to pray in tongues. So let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 13 and verse 8. Give me an oi if you're there. So it says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And so the common, you know, like from this passage of Scripture, the common teaching has been, or the claim has been from some, they've said, well, you know, the Bible says tongues have ceased. And you can see it there. What is it, verse 9? No, verse 8. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. And so people have said, you know, the Bible says the tongues have ceased. Yeah, tongues was needed in the early church. You know, we needed those miracles. We needed those supernatural manifestations. We don't need it anymore. When the apostles died, tongues ceased. And the Bible says the tongues have ceased. And we've got the Bible now. We've got everything that we need. And therefore, well, just understand some of these things that I'm saying. This is what I've heard. But you can't see that in the Scriptures. But it does say, the Bible does say, tongues have ceased. So what does this mean? And is it true? Like, are we teaching something that's not right? If this is saying that tongues have ceased, then it's also saying that knowledge has vanished. Because that same verse says tongues have ceased. It says, whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So if this is saying right now tongues have ceased, then we also have to agree that right now knowledge has vanished. I can't see that. In fact, knowledge is increasing more and more. Knowledge is increasing. We are filled with a world filled with knowledge. In fact, you know, you can Google just about anything and get answers. Knowledge has not vanished. So if knowledge hasn't vanished, then tongues haven't ceased. But it does say tongues will cease. There is coming a day when tongues will cease, and there's also coming a day when knowledge will vanish, and there's also coming a day when prophecy won't be required anymore. And this scripture is talking about that day. So when is that day? Well, if you read on, it actually tells us. In verse 10 it says, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, everyone say now.
Now,
now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. When are you going to see God face to face? When you go to heaven, when Jesus returns? This is talking about that time. When we stand before the Lord, you're not going to need to pray in tongues when you stand before the Lord. You're not going to need knowledge when you stand before the Lord. You're not going to need prophecies. You got the Lord. He's right there. This is talking about when we stand before God at the end of time. That's when tongues will cease, that's when knowledge will vanish, and that's when prophecies won't be needed anymore. In the meantime, we're going to need prophecy. In the meantime, we're going to need tongues. In the meantime, we're going to increase in knowledge. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Oh, another objection I've heard is people have said, well, you know, speaking of tongues is of the devil. They've said things like, you know, you better watch out. You open yourself up to that sort of stuff, you could get a demon. A demon will come in, and yeah, you pray in tongues, but now you're demon-possessed. And this is a very common teaching. Anybody heard this teaching before? And it scares people. Man, I don't want a demon. And it scares people. In PNG, we saw hundreds and hundreds of people come and get baptized in the Holy Spirit. But this was one of the major things that was stopping people, because it's like they wanted it, but they're thinking, but how do I know whether I'll get a demon or not? So let's look at what the Bible has to say about, is there a risk of getting a demon or not? Is that all right? Can we look at the scriptures? So look at Luke chapter 11. Would God allow you to get a devil if you were asking him to fill you with the Holy Spirit? Let's look at what Jesus has to say. I think he's a good authority. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or will he ask for an egg? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If, you know, those of you who are parents and your child comes up to you and says, Mom, I'm hungry. Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have something? Can I have a sandwich? Are you going to give him a stone? Yeah, bite on this one, son. Or they want an egg. And it's like, yeah, I got something for you. Here's a scorpion. Chew on that one. You're not going to do that. Like, this was like parenthood 101. A parent loves their child. It would be just repulsive even thinking about that. No way. My kid wants something to eat. I'll make sure my kid's got something to eat. I'll make sure that they're well fed. I'll make sure. No one's going to say that I'm a neglectful parent. Is that right? You're going to do that. And so Jesus is appealing to them. He started off by saying, look, you know, ask. Seek, knock. He's saying, because when you ask, you're going to receive. When you seek, you're going to find. When you knock, it will be open. And he's saying, how many of you as parents, if your child asks you for bread, you're going to give him a stone? How many of you as parents, if they're saying, can I have an egg, you're going to give him a scorpion? The people could relate to that straight away, and you as parents would know that. You don't even have to be a parent, you'd know it. And it's in that context, I want you to understand what Jesus is about to say now in the next verse, verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Give what?
The Holy Spirit.
Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Will God give you a demon if you ask him for the Holy Spirit?
No way.
No way. And that scripture is quite clear. People that say you're going to get a demon, you could get a demon. You might be really sincere, but it could be like a devil that comes in you and helps you pray. Jesus makes it clear, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him? Anybody who tells you that, you point them to that scripture and say, mate, show me what Jesus is saying. Is there something hidden in the Greek here that I'm not reading? Because here it says quite clearly, if I ask for the Holy Spirit, I'll get the Holy Spirit. I've heard another objection that people have said, well, you know, you not everybody prays in tongues. Okay, you know, well, maybe some people can get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it's not for everyone. Not everybody, Bible says, not everybody prays in tongues. So let's look at that scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Always let the word of God be your final authority on matters, particularly on matters to do with doctrine, with teaching. 1 Corinthians 12, 27, give me an oi when you're there. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? What's the answer? No. Are all prophets? What's the answer? No. Are all teachers? What's the answer? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? What's the answer? It has to be no, doesn't it? And so people will say, well, there you go. The Bible says, do all speak with tongues, and if the answer is no for all of those, then here, quite clearly, the Bible says, not everybody speaks in tongues. Therefore, it's wrong of you to teach that everybody can speak in tongues. No, it's not wrong. It's not wrong to teach that everybody If you look at verse 28, it says, and God has appointed these in where? In the church. And then he lists ministries in the church. He's talking about the ministry of an apostle, the ministry of a prophet, the ministry of a teacher, the ministry of working of miracles. He's talking about ministries in the church. And so let's not change the subject. The questions he's asking is about ministries in the church. Do all have the ministry of an apostle in the church? No. Do all have the ministry of prophet in the church? No. Do all have the ministry of a teacher in the church? No. Well, there's a ministry of tongues as well. And not everybody in the church will have the ministry. But there's a difference between having a ministry of praying in tongues and being able to pray in tongues. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to prove it to you in the scriptures so you know it's not just my opinion. I don't want you sitting there thinking, oh yeah, you're splitting hairs here, you know, like, you know. Paul said in chapter 14, I think it's verse 18 of 1 Corinthians, he said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. And in actually in the same chapter in verse 5, he said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. Now, if not everybody's meant to pray in tongues, why would Paul say that? I wish you all spoke in tongues. Because there's a difference between the ministry in a church of praying in tongues and there's a difference between in your own prayer life praying in tongues. You can pray in tongues. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can pray in tongues anytime you want. That's your personal prayer language between you and God. But then there are some that in the church, just like the ministry of an apostle or a prophet, there are some in the church who'll have the ministry of tongues and they'll actually utter forth a message in an unknown tongue. And somebody will have the interpretation of that. So when Paul is saying, do all pray in tongues, the answer is no, not everybody has that ministry. Just the same as not everybody has the ministry of an apostle. But everybody can pray in tongues in your personal prayer language. Hallelujah. And there's tremendous advantages to be. There's so much power. This is a gift. This is a gift you do not, you just don't want to do without this gift. This is a precious, precious gift. I can't tell you the number of times this has helped me in my personal life. And maybe I'll share some testimonies as we go. But let me list some advantages for you and I'll show you some scriptures. Number one, the advantage of speaking in tongues is it builds you up. Spiritually, it'll build you up. Emotionally, it builds you up. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4. You can just write it down. I'm just going to read it because I want to see if I can get through this message. But 1 Corinthians 14:4, it says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. The New Living Translation says, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. The New International Reader's Version says, those that speak in other languages build themselves up. When you pray in tongues, one of the things you're doing is you are actually releasing the power of God from your spirit to flow into your mind, to flow into your body, and it brings strength. It brings refreshing. The number of times that I've been in a situation and just feeling worn out and feeling like, man, I'm just too tired. And I'll just go and I'll just start praying in the spirit, just praying and just walking up and down. Or if I'm too tired, I'll just sit there and just pray in tongues and just pray in tongues. And I feel that power of God start to rise up in my spirit, start to flow. It gives me a sharpness of thinking. And then suddenly the strength that starts to come into my body because of that presence of God. This is not my opinion. This is what the scripture says. Even in Jude verse 20, it says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. And how do you do that? The rest of that verse says, by praying in the Holy Spirit. When you pray in tongues, you build yourself up. It's not actually your spirit that's being built up, right? The power of God's already in your spirit, right? Nothing more needs to happen in your spirit. Your spirit is complete. It's perfect. That's why the Bible says you are holy, you are blameless, and you are above reproach. I used to read that and I used to think, man, I don't think I'm holy. Blameless? No, I've got a lot of blame in my life. Above reproach? I reckon a lot of people could point the finger at me. But see, I didn't understand. It's talking about my spirit. And so your spirit, nothing more needs to happen to your spirit. When you pray in tongues, it doesn't empower your spirit. In fact, it's your spirit that's empowered already. And when you pray in tongues, it releases that power to flow into your mind, flow into your emotions, flow into your body. And so it builds you up. Number two, advantage of speaking in tongues. It gives you an effective prayer life. You can write this down if you're a note taker. I'm just going to read it out because I want to see if I can get through all the points. Romans 8 verse 26, it says, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Anybody ever been in a situation where you knew you needed to pray but you didn't know how to pray? I think you'd be dishonest if you didn't admit that. Either that or you haven't been a Christian for very long. But like if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, there are all sorts of circumstances and situations that can arise and you know you need to pray, but you've got no idea. God, I don't even know what to say. And this scripture in Romans 8 verse 26 says, in the same way the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses because we don't know how to pray for things as we ought. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could pray exactly like Jesus? Hands up if you reckon that would be wonderful. I reckon that would be wonderful. If you prayed the same as Jesus, do you reckon you'd get the same results? I reckon you would too. Because a lot of our prayers are just we mumble things or we kind of bumble and stumble over things. We're not sure. We're trying to do the best that we can. It's not like some people will pray out of selfishness. Well, that's doomed to failure, isn't it? But like if your heart's in the right place, you're trying to think, I don't know how to say this, God. I'm not even sure what to ask about this situation. And that's what this scripture in Romans 8:26 says. We don't know how to pray for things as we ought. And it says, but the Holy Spirit helps us. He intercedes with groanings that cannot be uttered. You know, when you pray in tongues, because that's a supernatural language that God has given you, because it's your spirit that's praying, you're not thinking about what to say. You don't even understand what you're saying. You're praying the perfect will of God. Because it's God speaking through you. Don't tell me your prayer life can't be effective if you're praying in tongues. The number of times I've been in situations, God, I don't even know what to say here. But I'm just trusting you to help me and I'll just start praying in tongues. And I'll just start praying and I just know that he's helping me to pray through that circumstance in my family or pray through that situation that has been developing and going the wrong way. And it gives you an effective prayer life. I remember Kenneth Copeland was praying one day and he was praying in tongues. And as he was praying in the Spirit, he got this number, 89443. And he thought, wow, that was random, 89443, what does that mean? So he kind of shrugged it off and just kept praying in tongues, pacing up and down, praying in the Spirit. Again, 89,443. See, what does that mean? 89,443. Lord, what are you saying? Didn't get anything, just kept pacing up and down, praying in tongues. Again, 89,443. The third time he said, Lord, he said, I know you're trying to say something to me. I don't know what you're saying. What do you want me to do with this? And as he said that, he got a picture of Mark Barclay, who's another minister in the United States, a friend of his. So he picked up his mobile, he rang Mark Barclay, and Mark answered. It was a Sunday morning. And Ken said, he said, Mark, he said, I was just praying and the number 89,443 came up. Does that mean anything to you? The next thing Kenneth heard was just the phone was dropped and he could hear Mark jumping up around going, yippee, yes, yes, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus, yippee. And Kenneth's on the phone like, Mark, where are you? And this guy's just jumping up and down. And finally Mark picks up the phone. Are you still there, Kenneth? He goes, yes, I'm still there. And what had happened is just that morning he was getting ready to minister in a church in another city. He wasn't even in his home church. He got a call from one of the departments in his church and something had gone wrong and they had received a bill for $89,443. And when he put down the phone from that department, he just started praying in tongues. And he just started saying, Lord, well, I don't know what to do with this, but you're going to help me. And he's just pacing up and down, praying in tongues. And then the next thing, his phone rings. And so you don't think that would encourage you? Like if God told this man that number, God has to have a way for this money to come through. So Kenneth said, well, if that's what you need, that's what I'm sending you, because God showed me that number, so I'm obviously the one who has to... and he transferred the money to him. When you pray in tongues, it makes your prayer life effective. You don't know how to pray for things. Spend less time in English, spend more time praying in the Spirit, because you're praying the perfect will of God. Oh man, there's so many stories I could share with regard to this. Hallelujah. Another advantage of praying in tongues is you access the wisdom of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, just write it down and you can look it up in your own time, but I'm going to read it out to you. It says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Everyone say, I know all things. That's what the Bible says. If you're born again, it says you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. I remember the first time I read that, I thought, I didn't know that. I was such a meathead. Because I just read it, I go, I don't get this. What do you mean you know all things? Well, I didn't. How could I know all things? Because I didn't know that. It's talking about your spirit. Your spirit knows. If you're born again, your spirit is identical to the spirit of Jesus. That's why your spirit is holy. Don't look at your own actions. Don't look at the way you interact with people. Look at your spirit. If you're a child of God, your spirit is holy and it's blameless, it's above reproach, and you know everything. All of the wisdom of God is already in your spirit. You don't need to pierce through and break through into the heavens to get your answer. It's everything is in there. And it's just a matter of mining it out. And that's why you pray in tongues, because you're accessing the wisdom of God. You're allowing what's in to come out. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2, it says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Everyone say mysteries. When you pray in tongues, you're not speaking to men. If I go to Micah and I'm going, here, brakaso, balabachere, unless God has supernaturally endowed me to say something, sometimes that can happen and it could be a language they understand. But most of the time, unless God's endowed me to do that, I could be praying in tongues and he's looking at me and he's going, and of course he's going to shrug his shoulders, because I'm not speaking to men, I'm speaking to God. That's what the scripture says. He who speaks in tongues doesn't speak to men, but he speaks to God. However, in the spirit, he's speaking mysteries. And the mystery, you want to know what the mystery is? It's the wisdom of God. You can write this down and check it out yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. I'm going to read it to you. It says, however, we speak the wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. When you pray in tongues, you're speaking mysteries. And this scripture says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Praying in tongues, you're speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery. You're accessing the answers to the questions that are burning in your heart, the things that you need to know in order to make the right decisions right where you're at now. They're all within you. You don't have to say, God, please say something. It's just a matter of dropping down into there and then beginning to mine that out and let it flow out. And it will flow, hey. I've shared Jerry's story. Can I share your story? Is that all right? So I knew I'm embarrassing you. I was sharing Jerry's story all over PNG. So I was telling Jerry the other day. I said, you know, if you come to PNG as part of the team, and we go to these villages, they'll go, You're that guy. But you know, a little while ago, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit and he started speaking in tongues. And on that same weekend, the Lord had spoken to me to teach him some principles of faith and how to release his faith. And so he had like a double dose. He learned some things about how to direct his faith to get an answer to prayer. But then he also got baptized in the Holy Spirit and he began to pray in tongues. And so Sunday, I thought it was Monday, but he actually told me, he corrected me, it was Sunday afternoon he went home and he decided, I'm not waiting anymore, I'm going to put this to action. He'd been looking for a job for 9 months to no avail. Sometimes he would get an interview, but it wouldn't go any further than that. Most of the times he wouldn't even get to the interview stage. But he was just at home and he was praying in tongues and he was thinking about how to release his faith. And so then he just released his faith and he said, in the name of Jesus, I'm getting a job by the end of this month. And then he stopped and he thought about it. He thought, I don't need to wait a month. I'm getting a job this week. The next day, he went for an interview and he got the job and he's still at that job today. Hey. In fact, he can't get days off now. They just want him all the time. You know, they're actually talking to him about, you know, he's not even going seeking this, but they're talking to him about, you know, you should think about getting quality assurance, which is like the start of a career path in this job. He's not even full time. I mean, he works full time there, but officially he's a casual. But he just doesn't have days off. They can count on him. He's a good worker. But he got that job when after 9 months of trying everything and nothing worked, he decided he was going to pray in the Spirit, and his prayer life suddenly became so much more effective. And all of a sudden, he's accessing the wisdom of God. And as he's accessing the wisdom of God, he speaks out and he says, I'm going to have a job by the end of this month. And then he realized, well, hang on a minute. Because he could see it. He could just see it. The wisdom of God was there. And he could, I don't need to wait a month. I'm going to have a job this week. Made that declaration and it came to pass. I remember another church that I was pastoring, there was a lady in there and she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. She bought her son a very expensive item, a toy. And he lost it. Within a week, he lost it. And she said, I can't believe you lost this. And he said, I can't find it, Mum. So they went looking everywhere. In his room, obviously, turned it upside down, couldn't find it. Looking right through the house, couldn't find it. Did you take it to school? Mum, I wouldn't take it to school. You told me I'm not allowed to take it to school. I didn't take it to school. Are you sure? Because it's not at home. And he said, I did not take it to school. She said, well, it's got to be home. They looked in the garage. They looked again, right through the house. Looked through his room several times. Couldn't find it. So, and finally, she just said, Lord, you know where this is. So she began to pray in tongues. What's she doing? She's come to the end of herself. She needs the wisdom of God. So she's praying in the Spirit, and she's releasing mysteries. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And she's saying, you know where this is, Lord. And as she's praying in tongues, she sees in her son's room a bookshelf and a pile of books. And straight away she said, Lord, I've looked there. You know where it is. You're going to show me. And she's praying in tongues. And then again, after a few minutes, she sees this bookshelf with a pile of books. And so again, a second time, she goes, Lord, I've looked there. You know where this is. God, you're going to show me. I just believe you're going to show me. And she's praying in tongues. And a third time, she gets this picture of this bookshelf. She goes, all right, I'll go and have a look, but I've already looked there. And she goes, and under this pile of books, there it is. Can you see the advantages of praying in tongues? There are so many powerful things. My fourth advantage of praying in tongues, and I think this is probably even, well, no, I'm not going to grade them. They're all really powerful. Hey, when you pray in tongues, it is the doorway into the supernatural. It is the path to get to the supernatural. Remember the other week I was talking about the tracks that we would use to get to the villages, you know? And if I was on the track to go to Kondu, but I wanted to go to, let's say, Nube, if I was on the Kondu track, I'd never get to Nube. It doesn't matter how well-intentioned I am. When you pray in tongues, it puts you on the track to take you into the supernatural. I don't understand why so many believers refuse to pray in tongues. People who have been filled with the Holy Spirit. It puts you on track. It's your doorway. You cannot... do you know why you can't... like, people that are not filled with the Holy Spirit... let me just show you just something really simple. If you can't pray in tongues, it's really hard for you to believe for a miracle. Because your imagination will fight you, because it's like, how's that going to happen? Like, I know God can do miracles, but is it really going to happen? I'm not sure. But if you're practicing praying in tongues, you're already doing something supernatural. You're speaking a language you don't know. And if you practice that, it's not that hard to extend yourself and say, you know what, if God can help me speak a language I don't know, God can use me to heal someone. God can use me to give me information that can help someone. I can get the wisdom of God. See, can you see it? If you practice this, you're practicing something supernatural. So you are now practicing being who God made you to be. You are a supernatural being. And so it's easy then to flow and to think, yeah, well, you know what? It's not that much of an extension. I can do that because I'm already doing supernatural things. And so praying in tongues is your doorway. It's not a destination. Some people think, oh, yeah, I've got tongues, that's it. And you go to them, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yep, yeah, I got that. Can you pray in tongues? Yep, got that one too. No, that's just the start. That's your doorway. It's your path. Keep walking the path. And let it flow. And let it, just let it do stuff. It's just amazing. Hey, I remember this pastor, in the United States, and he had a Jewish rabbi friend. And he invited this friend to come to his church, and he was going to show him around. He had quite a large church and a number of different departments, and so his rabbi friend came and he was showing him around the different areas of the church, and then they came outside this room in this foyer area, and he said in behind that door are people praying. He said, there's a number of our people that are praying there. He said, would you like to come and have a look? And so the rabbi said, yeah, okay, yeah, that'll be good. He didn't tell them that they were praying in tongues, because he just figured, well, I mean, he's not going to understand anyway. So they walked in through the door, and there's probably about 30 or 40 people in this room, and some are pacing the floor, some are kneeling, some are sitting, and they're praying in tongues, just praying in tongues, just praying in the Spirit. And so the pastor and his friend are just against the wall and just watching, just listening. And they stayed there several minutes, and then finally, after a few minutes, the pastor tugged at his elbow and he said, come on. He said, we'll go. We'll move on. I'll show you some other things. And just as they were about to go, this one guy suddenly just kind of stood up and he just raised his voice and he started literally bellowing out in tongues. And he started pointing into the sky. And just pointing in different directions and doing all these things. And like, it was pretty animated. You know, anyway, the pastor's saying to his friend, come on, we'll go. And now this Jewish rabbi is saying, no, wait. And it's obvious he was listening to this guy. This guy carried on for a few minutes, pointing in directions and stuff. And anyway, finally he quieted down and he sat down. And then the pastor and the rabbi, they came out the door. And then the rabbi said to his friend, he said, who was that man? And he said, oh, he's one of the people in our church. He says, he really good family. He said, good guy. He goes, how does he know my language? And he said, Hebrew? And he said, yep. And he said, he doesn't know Hebrew. He's lived in the US all his life. He's never even been to Israel. And he said, he knows my language. He knows Hebrew. And he said, no, he doesn't. He goes, he was speaking perfect Hebrew. He said, he actually spoke more precise than even I can speak. He was speaking in, and his pronunciation was exact. And he said, he was pointing into heaven and he was calling angels by name. And he was commanding them to go to cities and calling families by name, telling them what their need was and telling that angel what needed to happen for that family. And then he was pointing to another angel and calling it and commanding it to go to a church in another part of the world and telling them what their need was. This man said, well, he doesn't know any of that. When you pray in tongues, it's your doorway into the supernatural. You may not understand what you're saying. The man that did that didn't understand what he was saying. But does that mean he was ineffective? No way. And obviously it spoke to this rabbi. He saw, my goodness, what is going on here? Hallelujah. Are you getting something out of this? Can I have another 10 minutes? Is that all right? I know I've gone a little bit, but I need to make sure I get through this. I want to talk about some of the difficulties people have. People that pray in tongues, they have difficulties. And so I want to answer that, and then I want to finish and give you some tips, some really practical things that can help you to be effective in praying in the Spirit. I've heard some people say, you know, I find it difficult to pray in tongues for very long because it just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand what I'm saying. And I've had this happen a number of times where people say, well, you know, I pray in tongues more, but I just don't get it. I just don't understand it. You know, and a number of times when people come and talk to me about this, they're actually asking me to help them. Like, can you help me? Like, I don't understand what I'm saying when I'm praying in tongues. And I go, yep, that's right. Like, yeah, but like, I don't know what to do about that. Like, I find it difficult. I can't pray for a long time because I just don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And I go, yep, that's right. Usually I'll wait till they get frustrated, then I'll show them the scripture. And I'll read you the scripture. You can write it down and look it up yourself. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. It says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. If you're praying in tongues and you don't understand what you're saying, that's right. You're doing it right. Because that's exactly what the scripture... If you understand what you're saying, you're not praying in an unknown tongue. You're praying in a known tongue. To pray in an unknown tongue means that your understanding will not be fruitful. If you don't understand what you're saying, you're doing it right. Well, what's the point of doing it? All of the reasons that I've shared for the last 45 minutes, that's the point. Where you access the wisdom of God, it's your doorway into the supernatural, it makes your prayer life so much more effective, it builds you up. That's why you do it. It's not for your understanding, but it's to release the power of God in your life. And when you pray in tongues, that scripture says it's your spirit that prays. It's your spirit praying. If you understand what you're saying, it's your understanding that's praying. And there's a time for that. You know, if you're there and you're about to eat a meal with some friends and they ask you to say grace, and you can even have non-Christians do that. There's many times I'll be with unchurched people and they will ask me, would you give thanks for the meal? I love it. But I'm not going to start praying in tongues. They're not going to understand. Unless God specifically comes on me and really, you know, like makes it clear, I'm going to pray with understanding. Because I want it to bless them. I want them to understand my heart in it and what I'm saying. You know, you find if you're new to it or you're very inexperienced at it, you may actually pray in tongues and some words in a language you know may even slip in. Right? I remember there was a great man of God. I haven't seen him for a long time, but his son got baptized in the Holy Spirit at around about 3 or 4 years of age. And so this little tacker's just kind of walking around praying in tongues. But he was praying in tongues like this. It was like, Vegemite, Toyota. And so there was kind of like some English words in there. Does that mean he got something dodgy? Does that mean he got something that's kind of a bit faulty? No. If you're new to it or you're inexperienced, you may find some words in a known language slipping in. Just persevere and your language will become more refined and you'll get better and better. You'll find the known languages, you know, will slip out and soon you're just praying the heavenly language, the language that God has given you to be able to pray. Some people have had difficulties in this area because they've said, well, you know, it just doesn't sound like a language. I mean, like, you know, I'm praying, but it's just like I'm saying the same thing just over and over again. And I'm just thinking, well, I don't know any language that just says the same thing over and over again. I can make fun of this because I've experienced these things, you know, like particularly when I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit, these were some things that were going through my mind. Let me ask this first of all, and I know your answer to it. Do you know every language? No, you don't, other than Anthony. Anthony's nodding profusely. We don't know every language, so how do we know what we're saying? And what a language. Any language that's a language you don't know, you can listen to it, and after a while it's just like, I have no idea. This sounds like gibberish. Sounds like they're saying, in fact, in some of the villages, they were saying, I remember Wes actually commented to me, sounds like they're just saying the same thing. But they're having conversations. There was a friend of mine that was, not a friend of mine, but it's a guy that I know. He was praying at home and he was praying in the Spirit. And it was like there was this phrase that he was just repeating over and over again. I don't know what it was, but let's say it was something like, "E presco palagede, e presco palagede, e presco." And he was just saying that over and over again. And he didn't know why he was saying it. He didn't stop to think about it because he wasn't going into his head. Stay in the Spirit if you're praying in the Spirit. Is that right?
Yes.
Don't try to get your head to determine how to pray in the Spirit. It's your Spirit that knows how to pray. So he didn't know what he was saying. He didn't understand why he was repeating this. But it just felt real good. For some reason, he felt really good. And the more he said it, the better he felt. So he just kept saying it. And he kept saying it. And he said it for probably about 15 minutes. And finally, he finished praying. And then he went out into the kitchen. He's getting a glass of water. And his wife comes in. And she said, "Did my dad teach you that?" And he said, "Teach me what?" She said, "What you were saying." And he said, "When?" And she said, "When you were praying." And he said, "No." He said, "I was just praying in tongues. You know I pray in tongues." And she said, "You was praying Romanian. And you kept saying in Romanian, 'Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God.' Do you want to know why?" I wonder why he was feeling so good. Whatever was happening in his life, he needed to hear that from God. Where God was saying, "Be still and know that I am God." And he didn't even know what he was saying, but it just felt so good, so he just kept saying it. The fact that it doesn't sound like a language or you're repeating a phrase, just flow with it, just flow with it. And the more you flow with it, you will find your language will become more and more involved. It's like more rich, more complex. So just in finishing off, the last 6 minutes or so, some tips for praying in the Spirit. Number one, don't be timid when you pray in tongues. There's some people, when they pray in tongues, it's like they don't want anybody to know. They could be outside mowing the lawn. And it's like they're almost trying to be like a ventriloquist, not move their lips, you know. Don't be timid when you're praying in tongues. Be bold. Be decisive. Do it on purpose. You got to do this by faith or you don't do it at all. And it doesn't matter, who cares if the neighbor's across the road. Let's say you're mowing the lawn and you're praying, or you're doing the garden, or you're doing something out on your car and you're praying in tongues and your neighbor says, "What did you say?" You can just say, "I'm not talking to you. He who prays in a tongue doesn't speak to man, he speaks to God." But do it on purpose, hey. Do it with gusto. You be deliberate about it. You know, these people that are so wishy-washy where they've just got to like that, no one can hear them praying in the Spirit. No. You be very, very deliberate. About it. You know, there's got to be times where you raise your voice. If you're just always doing it in a whisper, you know, our God is, you know, sometimes there will be a shout that he will call us to bring out of ourselves. Is that right? "Oh yeah, Pastor Liz, I just like it quiet." Yeah, I mean, that may be your preference. But if you never shout, well, then you're doing something unscriptural. Because there will be some times where he'll call you to shout. What if the Israelites decided that they would whisper when they circled Jericho? Yay, go God. When he said, you know, you go around and on the final time you go seven times and then blow the trumpets and shout. Well, we don't want to wake anybody. Yay. None of them could get out of that. None of them could say, "Well, you know, I'm just not the screaming type. I'm just not flamboyant. Hey, I'm just not an extrovert." People will do what they choose to do. Is that right? You can choose what you want to do. You may not by nature be an extroverted person, but with the right stimulus, you'll be extroverted. Someone gets a gun and points it at you and say, "Put your hands up." You're not going to say, "Look, I'm just not the type that puts my hand up." With the right stimulus, you will do whatever you want to do. And what better stimulus than just because God told you to do it? Do I hear an amen? Amen. Number two, slow down your prayer language. Slow down your prayer. Some people, when they pray in tongues, they sound like a minigun. You know, it's just like, where's the fire? What's going on? What's the rush? Listen, I'm not saying it's wrong to pray quickly in the Spirit. But do you always speak quickly to everyone? No. There's sometimes you'll speak quickly, but then there's other times you'll speak slowly. Why don't you do that when you're talking to God? Why does it always have to be like the train left 5 minutes ago and I need to catch it? You know, this great value I have found in my own life, and I've been practicing this for a number of years, there's great value in actually slowing it down and let each phrase come out of your mouth carefully weighed. Zabala. Idroja. And as I do that, I just feel His presence. As I do that, there's times I feel the power of God just surging. Because I'm not trying to rush it, hoping that I get everything right. I'm slowing it down and being very deliberate. Hey, there's times where you want to do that and your prayer language becomes so effective and so rich as a result. My final tip is develop your ability to pray in tongues by singing in tongues. Sing in the Spirit. Hey, that's why we have free worship so often. You don't even need to. You can just, when you're by yourself, you can practice it. You can put on music. If you're not musically inclined, you can put on music and just not sing what they're singing. Just sing your own song. It doesn't even have to be in tune. But you find the more you do it, the better you get at it. And it just becomes a wonderful, wonderful thing where it's just like you don't even need to turn music on because you're just singing your own song unto the Lord. Evra so baleche, ingara sa varachoye. And you just begin to just sing, and you don't even understand what you're saying, but you just know, God, I know I'm telling you I love you. I know that I'm telling you I appreciate you. Did you get something out of it this morning? This is so, so powerful. If we want to get to the place where God wants to take us, and I believe He wants to take us into much greater supernatural places, well, this is so important. This is so important. And when we have free worship, don't just stand there with your mouth shut. Just start praying. Just start singing in the Spirit. Singing in tongues. Practice it in the car. Practice it at home when you've got some time by yourself.